Okay, just parking up outside the Grove pub in Anfield in Liverpool. Just to the right of me, we can see Anfield Stadium, home of Liverpool Football Club. And we're here today to speak to Rich from the Hummingbirds, who have just released their first album, Pieces of You.
Well, he was before.
What's
your name?
It's Joe.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe from.
Joe Norman. I've arranged a meeting for him.
Okay. There's loads of Joes and E's.
All right.
Is there a man here called Joe? He's come for an interview or something.
Like a little square thing.
A little square thing.
All right,
cheers. We'll talk of the time. Some places we've been.
Speakers. All right, good to meet you.
You too, Joe.
What's it like here on match days?
We can't move.
Yeah. Is it over a record? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I told you. You've just released your first album.
Yeah.
Pieces of You.
Yeah, about 3.5 weeks ago. Yeah.
So that's quite a long journey over a number of years to get to that point. During that time, were there meetings with record companies? Do A&R men still come out to gigs?
Yeah,
is there any that still go on?
We've come across some of the biggest names in the industry. We sat in a hotel room with Seymour Stein for a while, and he was promising all kinds of stuff, but he wanted to kind of to go through an independent label first. We were like, well, if you like us, why don't you just sign us to Warner, kind of thing. And then the most popular feedback we had at approaching all these people was, well, yeah, you're great, we like you, but we don't know where to market you. So we were like, okay, we're in limbo with what we want to do, because we weren't trying to aim to sound like something. It's just whatever came out. So I think now we've got a distribution deal and a publishing deal, we've matured our sound, and people can put us down a lane of what genre we are and stuff like that. Although it's still a bit, yeah, it's a bit of that and a bit of that and a bit of that, but it's more marketable to who it needs to be sold to and who's going to buy it.
How much more difficult do you think it's been getting that first album out, doing it through Pledge Music rather than having the backing?
The most difficulty about putting our album out was how long it took. Not to do it, not necessarily Pledge, but we record them, we go, yeah, okay, we'll put it out then. Next minute, the interest comes and we want to release it under this publishing agency distribution called Absolute. But we want to do it then. We're like, oh, okay, we've done an album launch like 6 months ago, it should be out now. And it took about 2.5 to 3 years to release the album, from making it to releasing it. But I suppose you've got to upset 100 people to have 10,000 people being pleased from your music. But the Pledge, I think, is brilliant. It's if you really, really deep down think you've got that support behind your fans to pledge for your album before you've got it, 100% go for it. Like, we expected to get, you know, we kept it as low as possible of what money wise what we needed. And we didn't expect it to fly so quickly. We over-pledged about 120%. It was great. We were all like, we had the app on our phone watching it go, oh, 60% 2 days, look at that. So I think Pledge is brilliant. Couldn't have done it without.
When it comes to recording, because you know the finances of it,
yeah,
and you know that the fans have put money up front,
yeah,
does that change the way you record? Does it make you more disciplined? Are you kind of thinking about them more when you're recording material? Or is it just a case of going into the studio and doing the best you can?
Always do the best you can. Like, we've recorded, you know, there's a few tracks we've recorded 3 or 4 times, and even tracks that we recorded for the album, and now we'll work on the album and stuff, and then you'll still play it live, but you just can't get it to sound how you want it on the album. We've tried so many times, but I don't know, yeah, you don't think about much apart from nailing your parts in the studio, and then when you finish tracking your part, then you'd have time to sit there and think, okay, what can we put here? like we got a song called Home, and I was like, it needs something. Like I don't, that guitar solo sounds, you know, very niche or whatever, but I was like, it needs to be an acoustic guitar solo, and fit, and we kept it. It's just little things like that, you know, something, you go, hold on, we can put that in, or, you know, it's, I don't know, I think you've got to go in this back of the studio to bring the vocals up on one song after releasing it on the album, just for radio interest, to be honest. So you're always thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I still listen back and go, I wish I could redo that drum track, or put an extra harmony in there, or take a harmony out. It's always going through, but we really do appreciate what everyone's done for us, going from the fans to the people that pledge, because you do more than you think the people that pledge. Got a nice following on Twitter and stuff, and they'll tweet you, and they'll send a mailing list out saying, okay, you got the album, here's your feedback, and brilliant.
Yeah. So in some respects, not having a deal with a record company has been a positive thing for you. Would you say that?
Big learning curve. It's very hard to get a record label like where you're going to feel secure with the band now, because there's so many artists now getting dropped, and I'm like, why? They're great and they're doing well and stuff, and it's just not stable. I think you got to read up on the deals that record companies are going to offer you, and there's so many bullshit people out there now going, yeah, I'll look after you, and, you know, uncontractual stuff, and you've just got to be really, really careful. Nowadays you won't get a great deal that easy anyway, and when someone gets a good deal, you hear about it, everyone hears about it, like how much have been put into this stuff, but doesn't happen much now. So yeah, I think what we've done is right. We've carried ourselves for 5 years.
I mean, during that time, were you having to do other jobs at the same time?
Oh, we all work.
Yeah,
I'm a landlord at this pub, and the singer's a teacher, two of the lads are floor layers, the other lads are a barman, so we're all working. We've got to stay alive, and we have ploughed our own money into it. I mean, we still do from time to time, because we have a paid gig, we don't just give it out between us, you know, we've got van insurance to pay and room rents, and if you need strings, or you know, I need a new skin for your drums, the money's there. It's quite cool. We've got to run it as a business, but to carry ourselves for 5 years and get where we are now, it's great. Like, we've had probably two or three managers who've, you know, took us there, but then that's it. And then we were like, hey, can you do something else, or is that it? And then same up with the second manager. And then you've got to get someone who knows someone and who's willing to put money in you and not feel bad about putting money in you. Oh, I've plowed 10 grand into this band and I've had nothing back. You should never, you know, Rome weren't built in a day, you know what I mean? It's not going to happen overnight, unless you're an X Factor. It'll happen for about 6 months.
But that seems to be it's kind of like there's two sort of models almost at the moment, where you've got people like yourselves, you're having to build up their own audience and to finance their own album, and it's a long, hard trudge to get to the point of releasing that.
Yeah.
And then you've got the award shows where it's kind of instant
fame.
I mean, did anyone ever say to you, what about Britain's Got Talent?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And you get that fed up explaining to people how it's not real, and it's, you get told what to do. It's not your own stuff. There's, you know, you say there's six auditions you got to go through before. You know, we got told someone emailed us offering us money to go just to audition. And you're like, I'd never do it. Do it the proper way. With proper people, will know what you've gone through and see your hard work, rather than just, you know, it's just cosmetic. There's no engineering behind it. But, like, we drive ourselves to gigs. We've saved up. We bought our own bus. Just yesterday, we were moving all the seats around and fitting sockets in the wall to do longer tours. And we got a little old minibus that took us through Europe. I mean, it's all ourselves, self-funded, and living off the fat of the band, I suppose.
I mean, the fact that you are self-funded, does it make it more satisfying when you finally get it?
Yeah, definitely. If you score a big gig and you come on stage, you're like, fuck hell. Yeah, that wasn't even a record label. That was just someone who's walked past and seen us. Like, we used to busk in Liverpool, and